nice to have a friend who saves your life. I ate a guava in Cairo. Complete the story.
With friends like Francois, who needs enemies? What happened, Francois? Why do you always eat things that you shouldn't be eating at the wrong time? The two of us, we travel quite a lot in the Middle East, and we've had a number of experiences together. It started off all in a little town, and I told this before, called Paro, and in a town called Par. And if you say it quickly, it is Paro or Paro. And so we always used to end up at the same venue because he'd phone me and say, "You're speaking at Paro," and I'd say, "Okay, I'll be at Paro." "Well, and you'll be at Paro?" "Yes, more Paro." And that's where a lot of the confusion came in. But if you do evangelism, then you will find that you have a tremendous opposition. The devil will do everything in his power to destroy whatever you are trying to do. And we can tell a lot of stories. Francois himself, he once had a melanoma, a cancer, and they said, "We must remove it immediately, or else you will suffer the consequences." But he had a campaign, and so he didn't remove it until the campaign was finished. And his husband was standing like this while he was preaching. And in that last meeting, something happened and it just disappeared. He put God first. And so we can tell lots of little stories.
But you saved my life at Petra. Twice.
I didn't save you from a guava. Yes. He ate the guava, or what? It wasn't even a guava. It was a persimmon.
Whatever, Walter.
Now, it works like this. In the Middle East, you have to be very, very careful because they sell these things by weight, and often to increase the weight, they use an injection to inject water into the fruit to increase the weight. And they'll take just water from the Nile, often there where the sewage runs into the Nile. So your chances of picking up something obnoxious are pretty good, right, Francine? Now, he has this habit of never taking the short route. Why should you take the easy route if you can take the difficult one, right? And we were in Petra. Now there's a perfectly good road to Petra, but there's a horrendous road over the mountains where there is possibly something that you can see, but you have to cross about three or four precipices. And one or two of them very dangerous. I mean, the ledge is only like this, and if you slip, you're gone, because it goes straight down. And you chose that route, didn't you?
You thought it was the guide.
Yes. And we were walking along, and he had eaten this doctored persimmon and was suffering the consequences. So he's not only like this on the stage, he sometimes walks like this as well. And as we were walking up the mountain, he fell. And I just happened to be behind him. Unfortunately, he's not very big. So I could catch him. And I caught him like this, and there was just this precipice. So yes, I did, but Francie, that's not something that we should say here. I mean, these are just little experiences.
Little drops of water, little grains of sand makes the mighty ocean and makes the mighty land. Don't ignore small things, Walter. This bonded our friendship. And we tried to proclaim the three angels' messages. If I don't take him on dangerous routes, he's got nothing to tell.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to leave you because it's 10:05. You can talk for yourself. Take them on a dangerous route.
I'm going to do two lectures on the life of Nebuchadnezzar. This is number one, and on Monday we'll have number two. I was so blessed when I researched his life, and Walter and myself walked on his footsteps, and I'll be sharing some of it with you. Now, how many ancient sources referred to Nebuchadnezzar besides the Bible and Flavius Josephus? Zero. And the critics denied the existence of this very important man mentioned in the Bible. Now, is it safe to be skeptic until the facts are revealed? She says yes. I think God gave us the science of archaeology on which to build our faith onto. You need a solid base for your faith. Well, join me and Walter on a scientific journey in search of Nebuchadnezzar. His throne name is Nabucodonosor, which means the god Nabu, son of Bel-Marduk, protects my boundaries. A beautiful name. And here is Walter at Tyre. This is still a future lecture. It is a marvelous fulfillment of prophecy. Now, close to Sidon is a site called the Temple of Echmun. So we went there and we saw something marvelous. Babylonian ruins. Next to it, Medo-Persian ruins. And next to it, Greece. Next to it, wow. All four empires mentioned, like Daniel mentions them. I was so excited. My heart was strangely warmed. Yeah, you know the story here. The ruins of four empires at Echmun Temple near Sidon cries out, the Bible is true. I was so excited. And my heart is strangely warmed. So what do you see in this picture? This is concerning Nebuchadnezzar. A stone is coming. I think that stone is very near. Is the approaching stone good or bad news? Good for those who allow the stone to break the hardness of bitterness and unforgiving spirit. Otherwise, that stone will come and finish you off. Please fall on the rock daily. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. Daniel interprets the dream, and last night I showed you the place where Daniel stood before King Nebuchadnezzar. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. And I like this. The great God has shown the king. Which king? Nebuchadnezzar. What will take place in the future. The dream is true. Please believe prophecy. And the interpretation is trustworthy. What are you looking at? Did you watch the news about Japan? This is what it looks like on our planet. Is there good news for tsunami, earthquake, and war victims? Yes, a rock is coming. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Did Nebuchadnezzar see the second coming of Christ? Yes, he saw the rock. Does God care about the Babylonians? How many people came out of Babylon here? Only one. Thank you. Pastor Bob, you have to push up the numbers. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign Ionios, tos Ionios, forever and ever and ever. The new ruler is on his way. What a dream. Well, join me on my camera in search of archaeological evidences of the existence in antiquity of this great man. And I searched a lot and I traveled a lot, but I've got the info. I'm going to share it today and on Monday. Now, this is a very interesting place called Nahr el-Kalb. Nahr in Arabic means what? River. We've got a few educated people here. And kelp? Dog. Yeah. It flows next to a mountain ridge that looks like a dog. And it's a very interesting site. I cannot share all the facts with you here. Let's concentrate on a few. I'm right at the back here, researching Nahr el-Kalb in search of Nebuchadnezzar. And when you walk up there, you see inscriptions, but they are vague and not very interesting, good looking, like an old man in search of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, ancient literature associates Nebuchadnezzar with Nahr el-Kalb. I got this in some literature. Now, time has erased some of the important messages. But here we look at something. Hieroglyphics, is it? Or is it cuneiform? What would you say? Cuneiform, yes. Do you recognize the man there? Who is he? Wrong. A careful reading, you didn't read the cuneiform well, tells it that this is not Nebuchadnezzar, but an Assyrian king. And the Lebanese guide tells me this is Esarhaddon. He's mentioned in the Bible. Does the Bible mention his name? Yes. This makes me excited. You're looking at the Lachish relief of his father. Who was his father? Begins with a Sen. Sennacherib. Yeah. It says in Kings 19:36 and 37, so Sennacherib. And it's interesting to look at the meaning of the names. King of Assyria departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with a sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. I've got a lecture on Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. This was after an angel killed how many Assyrians? 80,000 at one light. Where are we? We went to Nineveh. This place is called Nebi Yunus. They believe Jonah was buried here. I was so excited when I walked here. An historic moment. They discovered his temple and the arsenal of Esarhaddon. And Saddam Hussein did a great job here. He removed 400 families in order to do excavations in spite of Islamic law, which says you cannot remove people. So we are indebted to the man in some way or other. Don't tell the Bush family this. While I held my only daughter, waited 9 years for it, to my side, I said to Loretta, the Bible is the most reliable book. We're standing next to an image of Esarhaddon. It is a message from heaven. Nothing is unimportant in the Bible. Read it. Fill your minds with the great truths of the Bible. You remember this? Where were you at just now? Narelkelp? Esarhaddon. So while searching, I've been to Lebanon a few times. Will I ever find inscriptions of King Nebuchadnezzar? He was here according to the Bible, and I kept on searching. With this guide, her name is Françoise. She's a French lady in Beirut and a professor from our university, Middle East University. Would they be able to guide me to the place? Well, a history of the Babylonians and the Syrians. It's the title of this book, G.S. Goodspeed. He says, Nebuchadnezzar not only called himself conqueror of the West Land, but reached the Mediterranean and left his name upon the cliffs of Narelkelp. So the ancient literature told me to go and search for him at Narelkelp. Do you recognize the man here? You know, this is so marvelous. So we have to search for Nebuchadnezzar right here. For many years, I ascended these steps in search of this famous man. But they say perseverance is the master of defeat. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Especially on yourself. At last, I found it. How? Well, you know, because of the political unrest, there was no one to show it to me. And I was asking and searching. But perseverance is the master of defeat. If you planning to divorce your spouse, just stay with him or her. You cannot grow without problems. And men are meant to be loved, not to be understood. Can anybody read this Greek word? Kyriko. I'm in an educated audience. Yeah. You know, it was so difficult to get down here. They had to help the old man. I always wear a red hat so that they could see me. So I went down here and I shouted, Eureka, Eureka. The verb is Eurisco. Have you heard of Archimedes? This is where the word comes from. Can I quickly tell you what happened, how this word was born? Okay. This is him. Maybe you know the story, but for those who don't know it, let's quickly read it. This exclamation, Eureka, is most famously attributed to the ancient Greek scholar Archimedes. He reportedly proclaimed Eureka when he stepped into a bath and noticed that the water level rose. What a discovery. I've discovered it long ago. He suddenly understood that the volume of water displaced must be equal to the volume of the part of his body he had submerged. There you see the man. Is he good looking? No, okay. This meant that the volume of irregular objects could be measured with precision, a previously intractable problem. He is said to have been so eager to share his realization that he leapt out of the bathtub. I'm not going to read the rest of it. You know, we must become excited about the Bible and its truth. But put on your clothes when you do it. Eureka! Eureka! Archimedes. I thank Professor Khoury from Middle East University of Beirut who showed me this inscription. We searched together, we found it. Guess what happened to my heart when I looked at the cuneiform inscription of Nabucodonosor? Strangely warm. The book of Daniel is authentic. Don't let people tell you it's a myth. Written by Porphyry, a few years before Christ. It was written in the 6th century BC. Guess what happened to my heart when I looked at the cuneiform inscription of? Yes. I love this. You think he'll be in heaven? I'm looking forward to that day. You know, I like to discover facts about people mentioned in the Bible. They become real to me. Why? This is an engraving inside an onyx stone eye in Marduk, in a Marduk statue that depicts Nebuchadnezzar II. I don't think he looked so funny as this. I think the craftsman was in a hurry. His nose should have been a little indented here. But here you look at the evidence, another one, that there was a man like Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel and Jeremiah predicted that he would become ruler of the ancient world. People who rejected the prophecy suffered. Never reject prophecy. And you know what? We have a prophet. She's got good advice. She's got good advice. Where are we now? This is the Pergamon in which city? Ishtar, yes. Are you educated? Is this just normal knowledge? Yeah, is that your husband? Not. I think he will feel inferior if he marries you. Now, does archaeology confirm the existence of Nebuchadnezzar? Yes. It's on the Ishtar Gate in Berlin. And this is the ancient procession way. This is what Saddam Hussein repaired 180 meters of this procession way. A wonderful thing happened here every year, every new year of the king's reign. But you can read it in Isaiah 45. It says in Daniel 4:30, the king spoke and said, I don't think he was American, but let's carry on. Is not this the great United... No, sorry, Babylon. That I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. What do you call this type of speech? Arrogance. Megalomania. He eventually lost his mind. The more you use the personal pronoun, the more insane you are. By the way. here we are. Again in the Pergamon Museum in Berlin. A lady working on this. By the way, this procession way was 1.5 kilometers leading from the Ishtar Gate to the Etamenanki. And people would crowd there. This is what Daniel saw when he lived there. This scholar working here will tell you that Nebuchadnezzar was really the builder of the new Babylon. Restoration of the regional Ishtar Gate. Just look at this. This is what Daniel saw. Did he say anything about building Jerusalem, of Babylon? Did Nebuchadnezzar mention this? Now the Bible says, let's see what archaeology says. Here it is. Walter drew my attention to this. Do you prefer Babylonian cuneiform or English? What should I read? English, okay. This is what he writes. I laid the foundation of the gates down to the groundwater level and had them built out of pure blue stone. There you see it. Upon the walls in the inner room of the gate are bulls and dragons, and thus I magnificently adorned them with luxurious splendor for all mankind to behold in awe. The most beautiful city ever built. Walter and myself visited St. Peter's when Pope John Paul took the divine service. I want to tell you, Babylon is hypnotic. The old one and the new one. This was one of the greatest discoveries we've made. God led us to this place. You won't find this on the internet. Some of these stuff you will not find there. But here it is. You are privileged to see. And we searched an entire day to get this site. You are invited to the greatest revelation of Nebuchadnezzar. This will be in my next lecture. 1,000 cuneiform tablets with the name of Nebuchadnezzar cry out, the Bible is true. And it's so wonderful to see his name on cuneiform. And every time I read his name, my heart is strangely warm. The Bible is true. Believe it. Don't let anybody tell you it's myth. This is a chronicle. They've discovered many clay tablets, including the first Babylonian capture of Jerusalem, 605. And then the second one, the British Museum made a mistake here. It's not 595, it's 597. So we all make mistakes. No, don't condemn them. Let's carry on. Did this cruel tyrant repent? Yes. Eventually, after 60 years of his first repentance. So don't give up on a family member that's not accepted the Lord yet. Just keep on praying. How can I prepare for citizenship in heaven to meet Nebuchadnezzar one day? By the way, where are our enemies located? Outside or inside? Where is the greatest enemy? Simul justus et peccator, says Luther. At the same time saved, at the same time lost. This fallen nature of mine is my greatest enemy. I've got to fight him continually. I fight him now, he gets up and he fights back. Have you noticed that? And he works through your wife and your husband and your children. He's brilliant. We have to stay on our knees. Why are they continually tempting us to sin? What does sinning do to us and those around us? How can we avoid the mess? Listen to the Psalm 119:9-11. How can a young man cleanse his way? A. B. By taking heed according to your word. There is power in this book. If you cannot overcome, read the Bible. This is what it says. With my whole heart, I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. A beautiful poetic structure. Read the Bible, meditate on it, use your imagination, and let the Bible read you. Not only you reading the Bible. He reveals sins in your life, and he sends you to a Savior. Do you want to sharpen your intellect? This is what Ellen White wrote. As a means of intellectual training, the Bible is more effective than any other book or all books combined. Wow. You've got the best piece of literature in your hands. I was so happy to be here and to see the Bible is true. The greatness of its themes, the dignified simplicity of its utterances, only 6 days to create the planet, the beauty of its imagery, quicken and uplift the thoughts as nothing else can. Do you want noble thoughts? Read the book. It changes you. No other study can impart such mental power as does the effort to grasp the stupendous truths of Revelation. The mind thus brought in contact with the thoughts of the infinite cannot but expand and strengthen. You want to lift your IQ? Read the Bible. It changes people. I've seen this throughout my ministry. And this is what Walter and myself are telling people. There's a book. Believe it. Allow it to change your life. Till night shall vanish. In eternal day. No more tears. No more heartaches. No more loneliness. He's coming. The Bible says he's coming. This is just the beginning. Don't miss out on the next episode on the life of Nebuchadnezzar.